Amen. Yeah, you can clap for that. Praise the Lord. It's good to worship the Lord together. If you have your Bibles, open them to Genesis chapter 5 and also Hebrews chapter 11. And we're going to look at this whole, we're going to prepare these two things, the faith people that are mentioned in Hebrews 11 and the real life characters in Genesis chapter 5. Well, today, I'm going to start with this question that I've received many times in 27 years of marriage. The question is, this comes from my wife, do you want to go for a walk? All right? And I don't think I've ever asked her if she wants to go for a walk, but she asked me quite often, you want to go for a walk? And what I've learned throughout this experience of being married for this long is that when she thinks of walking and when I think of walking, there are two different things. All right? And maybe there are some women here who are different, but I think that a lot of women kind of fall into this category where my wife does, that a walk for most women is going for exercise. It's an exercise thing. To me, when you think of, when I say, well, let's go for a walk, it's not exercise to me. I often ask my wife, are we setting Olympic records here, or are we just walking? And I sometimes say, I'm interested in sauntering, right? If you can't put your hands in your pocket and walk, then it's not a walk to me, all right? But my wife gets all the, you know, all the gear in, all the exercise clothes, the exercise shoes, and we are going for a walk. We're setting some kind of record there. The dead giveaway is the exercise clothing. For a woman, going for a walk is also a social exchange, right? Because walking is really not about walking so much as it is about talking with the person that you're with. It's a means to get a conversation going. And so when we walk, we talk a lot together. It's conversation. For a man, a walk is not about conversation. In fact, we only secretly have conversations in the midst of our activities. We kind of sneak into conversations. We really don't want to blatantly say, hey, you want to go talk and shoot 18 holes of golf? No, let's go golfing. Maybe we'll talk. But women, they like this communication thing, and they like this talking, and sometimes walk is a social exchange to them. If you want to get a man to go on a walk, make it a hike or make it a competition or something that will make us sweat and maybe get dirty, and then we might be interested in the walk, right? For most women, and again, for most women, some of you guys are different from this, going for a walk is something you ask friends to do. It's a friend event, right? Never in my lifetime have I asked another man to go for a walk. Right? But at the same time, my wife has asked many of her friends, and she's gone on walks with lots of her friends, and of course, me being her best friend, we walk together. Recently on a vacation in Florida, to kind of illustrate this, we were with one of our friends, a couple, and they said, hey, there's the beach, let's go for a walk. I'm always up for a walk on the beach because it's beautiful, but we started walking, and I'm not lying, within 10 minutes, you could not see them. They were so far down the beach. We were sauntering. We were just kind of kicking around, getting our feet in the sand. They were on the move. So before long, we said, hey, there's a nice little place to get a cool beverage. And we sat down and we watched the ocean. And an hour later, they caught up with us and we went on with our day. The point is that it's a different thing when you talk about walking. But in full disclosure, I do like taking a walk with my wife. We've taken thousands of them in our marriage. She is my best friend, and so I do like spending time with her, especially if it's on a beach or if it's in the mountain or if it's in a big city. Even yesterday, we went for a walk on the Constitution Trail, and I even like that. But here's the deal. I think women have got something when it comes to the spiritual life, because the reality is that walking is about relationship. You only walk with people that you have relationship with. And what we're going to find out today is that Enoch, this is the whole sermon, but stay awake because I got some other points to make. The whole sermon is God wants you to walk with him, and Enoch is an example of someone who walked with God. And by walking with God, it symbolizes that he had relationship with him. Did you know that God wants us to have relationship with him? Before we get into Enoch, though, I want to review. We started this series last week called the Faith Hall of Fame. Hebrews 11 has all these people. It says, by faith, by faith, by faith. They're the Hall of Famers from the Old Testament. And we go back to the book of Genesis, and we find some of those people listed in Genesis that are named in Hebrews 11. We go, okay, what was it that got them mentioned in the Faith Hall of Fame? Last week, we looked at Abel. Abel offered a better sacrifice. And so we're committed in 2013. We're going to offer better sacrifices this year. That's what God's calling us to do. But let's see what God wants us to grow, how he wants us to grow in Genesis chapter 5. We'll start with verse 21. Very short verses, and you might think that there's not much here, but there's a lot here for us to kind of dissect today. Genesis 5:21. When Enoch had lived 65 years, he became the father of Methuselah. And after he became the father of Methuselah, Enoch walked with God 300 years. He had other sons and daughters. Altogether, Enoch lived 365 years. Enoch walked with God, and then he was no more because God took him away. And if you look at Hebrews chapter 11, if you have time, flip over in your Bibles, page 1106. Just kidding. Two verses that really tell us about Enoch and his faith. Hebrews 11:5. By faith, Enoch was taken from this life so that he did not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away. For before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. Let's pray and ask God to speak to us in this moment. Lord, I know that there are people here today who are not walking with you. And so I ask that you would draw them in through your word. I know there are people today who are tired of walking with you. I ask that you would refresh them for the walk and the journey. There are some people here who are on the wrong path. I pray that you'd get them back to their right one. There are many people here who have walked a long journey with you. Would you encourage them today to keep going? God, there's no way that my words will be good enough to do all that. But your Holy Spirit can. And your word is that. It's powerful. It changes every hearer. So Lord, would you open our ears and open our hearts and open our minds to hear from God today. We want to walk with you. And we think you want to walk with us. And so would you help us now. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, again, I got to ask this question. Why was Enoch in the Faith Hall of Fame? What was it that got him there? What was it that got his name mentioned in the Bible? He's this famous Bible dude. How'd he get there? Was it because he did some miracle thing? No. Because he had some supernatural experience with God and God had some vision for him? No. He preached some great revival sermon and thousands of people came to faith in God? No. The only reason that he's mentioned in the Bible is because he consistently, day after day, walked with God. Did you know that God wants us to walk with him? Micah 6:8, it's quoted in this song that we just sang. God has this question. He's asking all the people that follow him. He's saying, what does God require of you, O man, O woman? What does God require? And one of the three things that he says is, walk humbly with your God. God desires to walk with us. He wants us to be a part of his relationship with him. That's why he sent his son, Jesus Christ, in the flesh, who said, follow me. To follow Jesus Christ is simply to walk with him, to see what he does, to learn the way he acts, to find out what words we should use. And that's what discipleship is all about. That's why our vision is we're fearless Church of Christ followers. We're following Jesus. We're walking with God through Jesus Christ. That's what he's called us to. And so today, we get to look at this guy named Enoch. Now, some of you guys are going, you know what? I don't feel Jesus the way I want him to. I don't feel as spiritual as I need to. I don't feel God's presence in my life. Maybe it's because, like somebody who doesn't practice their golf swing and expects to go out and hit a good score in golf, we're trying to walk with God, but only on a limited basis. Maybe it's like the people that were in Genesis chapter 5, because we find this really crazy thing in the book of Genesis. All these holy people, all these people mentioned in Scripture, and only two are said to have walked with God. Enoch, and then later on Noah. Only two guys walked with God. Is it any wonder why the world was a mess? Is it any wonder why God eventually had to destroy the earth? Because no one was walking with him. And so if Enoch's walk is the kind of faith that gets mentioned in Hebrews 11, then you and I should look at it and go, okay, what kind of walk should we do? And that's what we're going to do today. And we're going to begin with this. I got three words there for you in your outline. Long life walk. Enoch's name literally means dedicated. And I want to draw your attention to this really cool. You might think that this is just an innocuous word here. Enoch walked with God 300 years. 300 years. You know what it takes to walk with God for 300 years? Dedication. You have to get up every day and say, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to walk with him for this long period of time. 300 years is a long time. Now, some of you guys might look at Genesis chapter 5. You might go, I don't get the whole long lifespan thing here. I mean, some people living in the... You ever heard your grandma say he's as old as Methuselah? Well, Methuselah was the son of Enoch. He lived to be 969 years old. And you might be saying, well, how's that happen? We can barely make it to 70 or 80 years in our culture. Well, think that this is the first 10 generations of the whole world. Think of how unpolluted the world is. Think of how untainted by sin it is. Think of how fewer people there are to mess things up. Think about how God had created these bodies by his hand and how the bodies probably had some longevity. And think about God's will to fill the earth, to populate the earth. And so I think it's by God's design that early on he let these guys live to be this long. But it's pretty intriguing to think about, isn't it? In all, it says that Enoch walked with God for 300 years. He lived to be 365 years old. You know what that means? That means that he was a teenager four times. You think about that? When he was 117, some 500-year-old looked at him and said, teenagers, you'll grow up someday, right? When he was 217, he probably went to his father and said, I'm 217, stop treating me like a kid, right? That's the way let me drive the camel, please. I'm not a little kid anymore. It's a long time. What I'm saying to you, it's a long time to walk with God, 300 years. When I first read this week, I thought, I wonder how many days that is, because really, all of our life, we measure it in years, but it comes down to every day. Nearly 100,000 days walking with God. What this is a long journey in the same direction, and that's what faith is all about, guys. The first lesson I want us to learn with Enoch as we start walking with God is it's not a quick destination. It's not a quick journey. And the results are not like this. One of the problems in our culture, especially in a younger generation, and I know this because I talk to my 24 and my 21-year-old all the time, is that we want instant results. You know what slow is? 6 months. Or on your computer, you know what slow is? 2 seconds. And we want instant results and instant access to everything. And God doesn't play that way. God says, walk with me. Let's have this long life journey together. And if you live 300 years, it's going to be that long. If you live 70 years, it's going to be that long. Relationship, especially relationship with God, grows through the journey. And so you and I should not try to get to the destination. We should take every day, one day at a time. This is the journey. Enjoy it. And so we see that Enoch apparently made his decision to get up every day and say, hey, I'm with God. Me and God are journeying together. Sometimes the fearless part of this is that we get scared when we don't see immediate results. I'm giving more, I'm praying more, reading my Bible more, never miss church, serving in Kids View. I'm doing all the stuff that I'm supposed to be doing, and still God feels far away. Well, just be patient, because if you walk with God long enough, sooner or later you'll have a relationship with him, and you probably do without knowing it. Here's the other part of this verse that as you dig into it, he walked with God 300 years, verse 22, and he had other sons and daughters. Now, we just throw those things away sometimes. How many sons and daughters did he have, you think? I mean, if we look at some of the other patriarchs, they had like 15 to 35 sons and daughters. I mean, big families. But he lived a long time. He lived longer than the patriarchs. Maybe he's like the Duggars. Maybe he's 221 kids and counting. I don't know. He could have had hundreds of kids, which means that he would have had hundreds of grandkids and hundreds of great-grandkids. He lived a very long time. All I know is this, is that when you bring sons and daughters into the equation, what have you got? You've got family. Now you've got life. Now you've got all the stuff that comes with that. You've got relationship between husband and wife. You've got needs that need to be met, physical needs. You've got to clothe these kids. You've got to put a roof over these kids' head. You've got to feed all these kids, which means you've got to go to work. You've got to organize the feeding and all the stuff that comes with it. You know, sometimes we look at our lives and we go, our lives are so hectic. We're so stressed out. So much stuff going on. Try having hundreds of kids. The point I want to make to you today is that he walked with God for 300 years in the middle of life. He didn't separate them. You know, so many times you and I, we want to come to God and say, God, I'll give you Sunday. I'll give you a small group study time. I'll give you these prayer times in the middle. The rest of it's mine. I think what we see in this passage is that Enoch, in the midst of having other sons and daughters, continued to walk with God, that he didn't compartmentalize. He went through life stages. He was a dad, and then he was a granddad, and then he was a great-granddad and a great-great-granddad. He had all kinds of life experiences you have, physical needs, work, conversation. He had change to change different stages of life. He had discipline because you know if you have that many kids, there's rebellion and there's fighting and there's conflict. He had to go through all the stuff that you have in your life. Here's what I'm encouraging you today. Whatever's going on in your life, God wants to be a part of that. He wants to walk with you through it. Here's the other thing about that I find out just by reading the context of this story. Enoch was often somebody who had to walk alone with God. It's not something we really want to do. But if we read Genesis chapter 6, 11, and 13, we find that this world was so wicked that he lived in, that in four generations, Noah is his great-grandson. That in four generations, the Lord's saying, this world is so wicked. Here's what he says in Genesis 6. It's corrupt in God's sight and full of violence. Jude also includes some kind of sermon from some unknown source about Enoch. We trust it's guided by the Holy Spirit. But in Jude, that little book right before Revelation in the New Testament, it says that Enoch wanted to convict the ungodly of all the ungodly acts that they have done in the ungodly way, and of all the harsh words ungodly sinners have spoken against him. What did Enoch think of his world? It's ungodly. In other words, not very many people were walking with God, but Enoch was. That means that sometimes he was alone, and often one of the most fearful parts of walking this walk with Jesus Christ is that we feel we're the only ones. Have you ever felt that way? If you walked with God very often, sometimes you felt like you're the only one. I'm the only one, Lord, who just takes serving seriously, and I'm sacrificing all the time, and I'm giving all the time. I don't see anybody else doing it. God, I'm the only one, if you're young or you're single in here, I'm the only one that's abstaining and not having sex until I get married. Everybody else is doing it. I feel so left out. Some of you, maybe you're in the business world and you find other people kind of cheating a little bit on the numbers, fudging a little bit on the figures. You go, I'm the only one running an honest business, Lord. Maybe you're the only one that's not laughing at those kind of jokes or telling those kind of jokes. Maybe you're the only one not going to those kind of parties. Maybe you're the only one not invited to those kind of parties. Maybe you're the only one who's willing to be involved and read the Bible every day. Maybe you feel like you're alone. You're not alone in feeling alone. Elijah, the great prophet of the Old Testament, said, Lord, I'm the only one. Everybody else has bowed down to Baal. Enoch, sometimes, I think, walked alone. But here's the cool thing. No matter how alone you are when you're walking with God, you are not alone. He is with you. I will never leave you or forsake you, he says. And so this was a walk that was long. It was in the middle of his life. And it was sometimes a lonely walk. I want us to be encouraged today that if we're going to walk with God in 2013, we may experience some of these things. But it was a faith walk. The question bears us asking here, did Enoch personally and physically and literally walk with God? Was it just like me and Sarah walking on the Constitution Trail? How's it going, God? So what are you doing? You creating the cosmos today? I mean, how'd that work? And I don't think this is to be taken literally, except I don't know if it was a literal walking side by side with something in the form of God, maybe like an angel, okay? I think it's really safe for us to take this in a figurative and spiritual way, because often this expression is used in the Old Testament as someone who is walking with God or someone who has relationship or friend with God. It means that they know them. They have constant and familiar interaction with them. And so that's what we're looking at in Enoch. And let's figure out what that interaction was out, because that's what we want to learn. What was that interaction with God like? Well, Hebrews 11, it's based on faith. We say it over and over and over again in 11. Faith, by faith, by faith, by faith, by faith. And by faith, Enoch. If you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn over to Hebrews 11. We're going to hang there for a while. The word faith in the Greek language is pistis. It's the word that means I'm convicted. I am convinced from the bottom of my heart that what I know about God is true, and I'll live differently because of it. Here's what Enoch was convinced of. Two things here that we see in Hebrews chapter 11, verses 5 and 6, that says, I know that this is true about God. Number one thing is, we see it here, that he believed that God exists. Middle of verse 5. Anyone who comes to God, anyone who wants to walk with God, has to be convicted in the bottom of their heart that God exists. And we live in a culture where people would say that God doesn't exist. We live in a culture that says there are many different paths to eternity, that you can believe in the teachings of Buddha, that you can follow Confucius, that you can follow Allah, that you can follow any number of teachings that they're out in the world today. But if you're going to have faith in God, if you want to walk in God, you have to believe that he exists. The word to be is in the Greek language. It's just a verb, to be. It's what God said in the Old Testament, or in the New Testament, when Moses said, "Hey, what's your name?" He said, "I am." Well, what kind of name is that? I am. I exist. I am the existing one. I'm everything that you need to know about this world. Everything that lives comes through me. Everything that's done is by my power. Everything that you see, I've seen it first. Everything that's going to be in the future, I know it. God exists. And if you believe that, then you're going to be drawn into a journey with him like Enoch was. Enoch believed that God exists, and he must have believed it every day for 300 years. For almost 100,000 days, he got up and said, "I believe God's real." Let me give you three simple tips, and there's probably some other suggestions I could give you for walking daily with God, believing that he exists. But here's three easy ways to walk with him because of this belief. Number one, would you constantly invite God into your world? Constant invitation. Constantly saying, "God, come in." Now listen, God doesn't need permission. He can go through any door and go into any place he wants to. But for some reason, relationship with us, God wants us to want him in. The easiest place for us is to start every morning and say, "God, come into this day." The prayer times throughout the day. When we got a meeting coming up at work, "God, come into this meeting with me. God, I'm driving to work. Ride with me in the car. God, would you be in my family today? Would you sit at dinner table with us?" Some people actually have this practice. I know some pastor friends who, whenever they have a meeting with somebody, they set a candle up and they light the candle to remind them that God's here. "God, come into this place. I want to be reminded that you're here." What is it that you're doing to bring God? I said this at first service. Every day at work is bring your God to work day. Every day at school is bring your God to school day. We don't leave him at home. We don't leave him at church. We don't leave him in small group or in our Bible time, quiet time. We bring him along all the time with us. He's in our relationships. And you know that I've said this to you before. I've tried to encourage all of us in here to have just physical and visible triggers that remind us to ask God in. I've tried to develop over the years just business cards with all kinds of notes and scriptures and people so that I can be reminded, "Oh, Lord, go into that person's life today." You know, sometimes I've told you guys this before. I do this crazy thing when I get dressed all the time, right? I'm brushing my teeth. And I'm going, "Lord, bless this mouth today. Help it to say good words, not bad words. Help it to have thoughts that words that come out that bless people and encourage people." I put my shoes on. "Lord, guide these feet today. Come with me. Walk in these shoes." I'm putting my clothes on. "God, I want to be clothed in your love today. I want to walk so that people see me clothed in Jesus Christ." There's all kinds of cool stuff that you do. One of the funny things that I think maybe some of you guys have probably seen, not too long ago, a friend of mine in this congregation made a staff, like a shepherd staff, because pastor in the New Testament, the word is shepherd, and that's elder, and I'm an elder and pastor here, so I've got this 7-foot staff in my office, and it's leaning up against the window. So sometimes on a Sunday morning when I see everybody walking in and passing by in cars, and I'll sometimes grab that staff and stand in the window and and thank the Lord for being my shepherd and ask the Lord to help me shepherd you with the words that he's planned for me to say. I'm not trying to part the traffic with this staff. If you ever see me doing that, that's not what I'm trying to do. It's a reminder to me that God's my shepherd and that I'm a shepherd. And there's all kinds of triggers like that I would encourage you to create. Maybe it's a bracelet. Maybe it's somebody's picture. Maybe it's a prayer that you say every day when you get to work. Maybe it's a reminder, an email that's sent to you. I don't know what it is, but constantly saying, "God, come into my world." I think that's what Enoch did. I think Enoch also, part of the number two thing here is to constantly notice and acknowledge God's presence. Sometimes that's really simple. We constantly invite God in, but then when God comes in, do we acknowledge him? Do we notice him, right? Now, some of that's easy. We look at a sunrise and we go, "Man, that's awesome, God." Or we see a sunset and we say, "That's cool." Some of you might have a different religious experience when you see snow, but I always say, "God, that's cool." Sometimes you don't know this, I'm a bird fan. I'm not really a pet guy, but I have a bird feeder outside one of the windows of my house, and I actually stock it with bird seed, because every time I see a bird, it reminds me, it triggers this thought, and where God says in Matthew 5 through Jesus, he says, the birds of the air, they don't have a storehouse or a barn. They don't plant or sow or reap, but God feeds them. Reminds me that God provided for me. Obviously, mealtimes is a constant way to acknowledge God, but maybe in smiles and babies and laughter. Also in the hard times, sometimes in the middle of the Christian walk, there's this peace that just happens in the middle of stress or the middle of some crisis or the middle of some sad thing. And sometimes in the middle of even the dying words of a loved one, you can find some peace and some joy and say, Lord, thank you for that, because I know that's who you are and what you're doing in my life. So constantly inviting him, constantly noticing him, and constantly depending on him. I think we could probably get better at confessing to the Lord about 100 times a day, God, I need you. I can't figure this finances out by myself. I can't figure out this illness that a friend of mine or I'm dealing with by myself. I can't even grow by myself. I can't even get out of bed without your power empowering me. I don't know that tomorrow's going to happen without you. God, I can't lead this business. I can't think. I can't have a relationship. I can't do marriage without you. I can't raise kids without you. I can't be a good kid in school without you. I can't pursue my career without you. Constantly confessing. I think this is part of walking with God, is being honest with him and saying, you know what, I need you. And the more you talk with him like that, the more you acknowledge him, the more you invite him into your day, sooner or later you say, yeah, I'm walking with God. That's what Enoch did. And that's what we find in Hebrews 11 that he's commended for. He was commended as one who pleased God, and without faith it's impossible. So his faith said God exists. His faith also says in the very end of verse 6 that God rewards those who earnestly seek him. The reality of it is if you want to go for a walk with God, then earnestly seek him, he'll walk with you. This word earnestly seek means to search for something. And it occurred to me as I'm writing this sermon this week that everybody is searching for something, no matter who you are in here. And really, a lot of us are searching for the same things. We want to know, is there something in this world that says, I belong? Is there something in this world that can use my gifts and say, I've got purpose? Is there some place in this world where I can be loved? Is there some place in this world that's eternal? We're all looking for the same thing. And my encouragement today is if we, like Enoch, earnestly seek God in 2013 for 365 days, that we are going to experience finding him. Jesus says, seek and you will find. If you seek after me with all your heart, you will find me. And so here's some tips again. 3 easy things you can do to seek God in every day. Number 1, talk to him every day. Bible tells us to ask God what we need. It's not a sin to go to God and say, hey, God, here's the 20 things I need today. God tells us to do that. The Bible also tells us to thank him. Thank him for all the stuff that you can think of. Every day, Lord, here's what I'm thankful for. Thank you, because every good gift comes down from the Father of heavenly lights. Right? Lord, here's what I'm ticked about, and here's what I'm thinking. Now, if you think about those 3 things, thank you, hey, I got a favor to ask you, and hey, here's some stuff that I'm kind of messed up and trying to think through. That's relationship talk. If you're married in here, you don't have a good marriage if you say, hey, I've been married for 27 years, haven't talked to her for 16. Haven't expressed any emotions, haven't asked any questions, haven't asked any favors, haven't said thank you. You know you cannot have a relationship with a friend of yours. If you have a friend, hey, that's my best friend over here. Right over there, they live in that house over there. When's the last time you talked to him? 1999. It's the last time we talked. You know you can't have a relationship without talking with someone. So you know you can't walk with God without talking to him. Conversely, you talk to him daily. You also listen to him daily. The problem with some of our relationships with God is that all we do is we want to walk with him and just give him a piece of our mind. Well, guess what? He's got a better mind, and taking a piece of that would be better off. So we listen to him every day. We read the scripture every day. We memorize the scripture every week. We meditate on it. And I know sometimes that weirds people out. Meditate simply means just to think. It literally comes from the Old Testament. It means to chew on something. John 3:16, I promise you, if you want a spiritual experience, spend 15 minutes this week in a quiet place just thinking about John 3:16. You will be moved because it's moving. That God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him would not perish, but live forever. God wants to tell you that stuff. God wants you to know that stuff. He wants to share with you the blessings and the joy and the peace that he can bring into your life, even if it's a bad life right now. And then number three, talk to him daily, listen to him daily, prioritize him number one every day. I think we need to do this, literally. I think we need to wake up every day and say, God, you're number one today. I know I've got an agenda. I got to go shopping, and I got to plan for this party, and I got to go to work, and I got to get gas in the car, and I got to stop by and pick up my coffee like I always do. And then I got to come home, and I got to do these things with my kids and this activity and the teacher's meeting. I got all this stuff. I've got the same schedule you do. You know how God's going to be a part of that walk? Is if you make him a priority. If you say to God, every day the most important thing that's going to happen today is you. I want you to come along. I want you to be the priority of my day. So listen, let's just make a pact with one another. Let's spur each other on right here. In 2013, it is unacceptable for us to say, I don't have time to talk to God today. Bummer. I don't have time to read the Bible today. That excuse does not, if you want to walk with God, Enoch never said, hey God, no time today. I got some stuff going on with my kids. We'll walk tomorrow. That's not the way we walk with God. Every day we wake up and we say, I will talk to you and I will listen to you and you will be the number one priority of my life. And that leads to this cool thing that Enoch also believed. Verse 6 says that anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. Enoch could have taken different paths. And Enoch could have walked like the people in his world were walking. But he said, you know what? I think if I walk with God, that's going to end up being the best thing for me. That God, because he's who he says he is, he's going to reward me at the end of this journey. At the end of this journey with God, at the end of this walk, when it's all said and done, I will have no regrets. It's amazing to me when I get on to the place where people are on their deathbed and they're asking me to do their funeral, and I've held many of their hands as they slip into the other world. I've never heard one longtime walker with God ever saying, you know what? I wish I would have sinned more. I wish I would have walked with God so long. It's ruined everything. I find peace and joy and contentment because they know that the end of the journey means reward. Enoch, his faith walk was something that brought reward at the end, great reward. There's two rewards I see here in Hebrews 11 real quickly. The first one was he had a testimony. Again, this is the same word there. For before he was taken, he was commended. The word commended, martureo, witness, testimony. You guys getting tired of that word yet? It's our witness. So people said, well, tell me about Enoch. Oh, he walked with God. He's a guy who walked with God. May that be our witness in 2013. Because it is the only way to walk with God by faith is the only way we can please him. There's two ways to please God, by the way. One happened when Jesus was baptized and he came up out of the water and God's voice said, this is my son in whom I am well pleased. So you can be the son of God. Okay, that's not us. Or you can come and walk with him by faith. You can believe. This is unbelievable to me. It's not by going to church more. It's not by memorizing the Bible more. It's not by doing good deeds more, saying less cuss words, being kinder to the people around. That's not what gets God to go, I'm pleased. What gets God to say, I'm pleased in you, is when you walk with him and you believe that he is who he says he is and that you earnestly seek him because you know he's going to reward you at the end. Then he is pleased with you. And then God will take you away like he took Enoch away. He took him away. Why did he not take some of the other characters that are mentioned here? Because they were not following God. They were not walking with God the way Enoch was. He took him because he was pleased with him. I'm pleased with you because you have faith. You trusted me, so come on. Come hang out with me. And he took him to heaven. He took him to be with him forever in his presence. He rewards those who walk with him by faith. And I think that God is still saying to us today, this is God's invitation to us today. This is an old, old story, thousands of years old. I believe God is still saying to us today, hey, let's go for a walk. There's an old preaching story that's told about God and Enoch walking. And it's just like every day they'd meet at the same place and they'd go for a walk and they'd talk about God's creation. They'd talk about the needs and the family and all that kind of stuff. And one day they were having such a fun time laughing and sharing life together that they got pretty far from home and the sun was going down. And God just looked at Enoch and said, hey, we're closer to my house than yours. Why don't you just stay? And I know that's a preacher's story. I don't know if that's really the way it went, but it's kind of the way it went. When it was all said and done, when Enoch was done walking with God, there was a point where God, he didn't let him live to be 900 years. He said, no, I'm pleased with you. Come hang out with me for eternity. And that's why every Sunday here at Eastview Christian Church, we celebrate that offer of God to come walk with me. And we can't do it on our own. But because of his sacrifice through Jesus Christ, we can. Just a minute, the ushers are going to come and they're going to pass emblems. And I want you to meditate and think on this. That because Jesus broke his body and gave his blood for us, we can walk with God. And we can walk with God in a way that's going to end in the same result that Enoch had. God's going to take us. And so as these emblems are taken, there's two stacked cups. Both emblems are there. Just take the whole thing and hold on to it. And I'll come back and I'll lead our hearts in a time of communion.